Maracy. 10 hours after detonation. Somehow the sun was already rising again when Maracy stumbled off the train in Ellendale. She might have expected the train to be empty considering the disasters, both prevented and diminished, that had marked the night. Yet the train was packed, some traveling to aid those in the waterlogged and broken northwestern quarter of Ellendale, others coming to check on family, others returning home from the evacuation to seek a place of comfort in this strange time. She let them swarm around her as she stood on the train platform, feeling disjointed, out of place. Part of that was fatigue. She'd had perhaps 2 hours' sleep back in Bilming after coordinating with Constable Blantach, who had finally accepted the evidence of Introne's malfeasance. The testimonies of the people whom Maracy and the others had saved, especially the journalists and politicians who Twinsoul had escorted out, would prove vital. It felt wrong to leave the Lord Mayor and his remaining accomplices in the hands of a constabulary department that had, up until recently, answered to him. But honestly, Maracy wasn't certain what else she could do. An Ellendale invasion of Bilming wasn't feasible, considering the disasters and the political situation. She simply had to hope that the testimonies, the explosion, and the overwhelming physical evidence would be enough to force the Bilming constables to do their jobs. At the least, it seemed that Wax and Wayne had left the set's organizational structure and military forces in shambles. They'd found Telson dead on the top of the Shaw. Written by her own fingernail on the strangely gray skin of her arm had been the words, "You have proven yourselves for now." The way her god had left her was eerily reminiscent of how the Ascendant Warrior and the Last Emperor had been discovered at the end of the Catasandra. Strangely peaceful and Rust's Maracy was zoning out, standing there as confused as a rough's bumpkin her first time in the city. She forced herself to start walking, moving with the last straggling passengers to leave the train. She needed a bath, she needed something to eat, and she needed... A frantic, masked figure burst from the crowd ahead, having fought his way against the flow of traffic. She wasn't certain how he'd talked his way through the ticket gate, but Maracy finally let herself feel a measure of comfort as Alec crashed into her with a powerful embrace. This, she thought as he held her tight, was what it was for. This and a million other people. But to her, it had been for this most of all. Alec pulled back and raised his mask. He'd been crying. "It's all right," Maracy said, wiping his tears away. "Alec, I'm fine. I promise. I thought you were outside the city."
"I returned early," he said. "And these tears aren't for you, love. We tried to get word to you, but it was chaotic and the lines were busy."
Her world started to crack.
"Who?"
she whispered.
"Wayne," he said.
No, it was impossible. Wayne was practically immortal. He was like a rock, the kind you got in your shoe and couldn't get rid of. No, he was the kind you leaned against when you needed something stable. He was her partner. She knew their job was dangerous. She knew they risked their lives each day. Still, she'd always assumed she would be the one who...
"Wax," she choked out.
"Fine," Alec said.
"Well, all but one leg, yeah? But he will heal up."
He winced.
"He says Wayne stayed behind, detonated the bomb to save the city."
She grabbed him then, because that break in his voice matched the one she felt inside her, and she needed to hold to something. As they embraced, she felt grief welling up to destroy her. She wouldn't accept it. She wouldn't believe he was gone. He'd survived worse than this. She would come home one day and he'd be sitting in her kitchen helping himself to the chocolate. And if that never happened? "I can't deal with that right now," she thought. "Not on 2 hours of sleep." She let the delusion linger, so it could erode like a stone in the waves over time. Alec took her by the shoulders.
You, he declared, look like you are in need of copious amounts of baked goods, delivered with an urgency rivaling that of a war leader in battle, yeah?
Yeah,
she said, embracing him again.
1,000 times, yeah, Alec.
An hour later, full of exotic cakes and biscuits, Marisie snuggled in the overstuffed chair of her small flat. She'd finally changed, but not into pajamas. Instead, she wore her uniform, long skirt, blouse, constable's overcoat. Alec had given that an odd glance before he'd slipped out, with characteristic apologies, to buy a bottle of wine. The thing was, as tired as Marisie had felt, another emotion dominated. A sense of displacement. An awareness that something was wrong. She was struggling to deal with the idea that Wayne was dead. Most of her refused to believe, for her own sanity. That was part of it. There was another part, though. A sense that something was unfinished. That a question hung in the balance. One she had to answer before she could truly rest. So it was no great surprise that soon after Alec left, a knock sounded at the door. It was a young messenger girl of the variety you could easily hire in town for a few clips. They knew the ins and outs of the many tenements, apartments, and winding streets of the Octons better than most postmen. The girl delivered a small envelope before scampering off. Inside was a card with the symbol of the interlocking triangles, the Ghost Bloods. There was an address on the back. Marisie checked her things, credentials in her pocket, handgun in the holster at her side, insignia on her jacket. She didn't bring a rifle. Today she didn't need to be armed so much as equipped. She left a quick note for Alec, promising to return soon, then made her way out into the city. Her city. She loved Ellendale. The sheer variety of people. The way that the broadsheets were already selling the story of the detonation. Some called it a warning shot from the outer cities, others a deliberate attempt to cause a flood, as if blowing the city up wouldn't have been a more effective choice. A surprising number actually had the right facts. Dawn shot and deputy save day. Daring last-minute race to save Ellendale. Bilming bomb prematurely detonated by Constable Courage. She wondered what they'd say when they got hold of her story. A hidden cavern full of kidnapped people being used to try to create Mistborn? Moving photos and hemallergic monsters? It was the sort of thing that would fuel broadsheet stories for decades. She strolled toward her destination, savoring the scents, good and bad, but always potent, the sounds, the feel of a city so alive that even a disaster couldn't stop it. The Ghostblood base in Ellendale was more ostentatious than the one in Bilming. A grand old-school estate with stained glass and manicured grounds. Marisie was ushered in without needing to knock, then led to a dimly lit room. She assumed she was to sit here and wait until she noticed someone at the far side. Seated in a comfortable but enveloping chair, fine shoes catching the light, his face lost in shadows. But one feature was plain, a single spike pushed through his right eye. The survivor himself. She'd met Death, chatted with Chondra, heard Wax speak of Harmony. She was no newcomer to figures from lore stepping out of shadow and into her life. This was different somehow. This was the man who had started it all, the man who had survived his own murder. This was the man she'd been taught to worship and revere. Here he was, and it was the most intimidating experience of her life. She tried to speak and found her mouth dry. The door opened and Twin Soul entered, stabilizing himself against the door handle. Though she'd known him only a short time, it still felt right to give him a hug, which he returned.
"It is good to see you well, m'lady,"
he said to her.
"And to hear of your accomplishments."
"Oh," Marisie said, "Twin Soul. Moonlight, she..."
"We've heard reports," Twin Soul said. "She was forced to use her stamp."
"Yes," Marisie said.
She will be difficult to recover,
Kelsier said from the shadows.
I may have permanently lost my best agent to this fiasco.
Marcy's first instinct was to rush to apologize. She stopped herself. You'd rather we let the invasion happen? Kelsier leaned forward, and she thought she caught a hint of a smile on his lips. Perhaps the stories were true, that he might be a brutal man, but he wasn't a stern one. But who knew? Could you really trust stories from hundreds of years ago? And if you could, surely a man changed after living, or, well, not staying dead for 4 centuries.
Go ahead, Twin Soul, Kelsier said.
Merci, Colms, Twin Soul said. I am proud to offer you membership in the Ghost Plots. If you accept, I would be honored to become your mentor, as is our tradition. You may join me on my next mission to track Moonlight down and attempt to restore her natural personality.
This offer comes with access to everything the Ghost Bloods know, Kelsier said. We don't keep secrets from one another.
Even you, Survivor? Marcy asked, curious. Do you keep secrets? He didn't respond to that, but he did smile again.
There is lore and arcana we have access to, Twin Soul said, that will delight and awe you, my lady. Our duties lead us to fascinating places, all in the service of the very thing you want, protecting Skadriel.
It is not an invitation, Kelsier added, that we extend lightly.
So, here it was, the question. Did she accept? Lately, she'd wanted so badly to do something more. Every glimpse she got of the larger conflicts, the larger Cosmere, made her want to see it in full, like a woman peeking at a sunset through a slit in the wall. And yet...
How long, she said, did you know about the sect? How long did you know what they were trying to do? Who Trell was?
Silence.
We provide answers, Twin Soul said. After oaths, milady. It is our way.
Did you share with Harmony? Marcy asked.
Says, Kelsier said, is erratic lately. There's a problem brewing with him. One I fear is going to make even today's events seem trivial by comparison. We must unfortunately work in secret. We are too small, too weak, as of yet. In the open, forces in the Cosmere would crush us.
She didn't disagree, not entirely. Every lawwoman understood the need to work covertly at times. And yet... Marcy turned their card over in her fingers, then held it up and looked at the interlocking blood-red diamonds. Was this really what she wanted? She'd been dissatisfied in her service on occasion, but was there any job you didn't dislike now and then? As she turned the card over again, she remembered why she'd first become a constable. Not just to solve crimes, to solve problems, to make the world a better place, not merely protect it. She couldn't do that from the shadows, could she? Others might be able to, but Marcy? She'd have to lie to so many people. That violated the fundamental oaths she'd taken.
Have you appreciated it? Armel had asked. That question haunted Marcy. Once, she said, about 7 years ago, I thought everything I'd ever wanted had fallen into my lap. I thought I'd figured out what I wanted. Then he walked away. That rejection was among the best things that ever happened to me.
My lady,
Twin Soul said.
I guess, Marcy continued, it's hard to know what you want. We never have all the information. We merely have to do what we can with what we have.
She met Kelsier's shadowed gaze.
If I join, will you let me share what I discover with the constabulary?
What do you think? Kelsier asked.
I think, she said, that I am a servant of the people.
She moved to set the card on the table beside the door.
that any power or authority I have comes from them. They are not served by darkness and lies, no matter how well-intentioned.
Be careful, Kelsier said before she could put the card down. Are you certain this is what you want?
No, she said. My job isn't to be certain. My job is to do the best I can, even with limited information.
She dropped the card. She still needed to find something, an answer for herself, but this wasn't it.
I am a servant of the government, Marisie said, and of the law. Things that you, I believe, have historically had a problem with, Survivor. I appreciate your help on this mission. I'd accept it again in the future.
She shook her head. But I'm not a good match for your organization. I won't keep secrets when the truth could save lives. She needed to know what was hidden here, but she was a detective. She'd find answers without selling her soul, even if it was to the Survivor himself. Kelsier did not seem like the type of man who appreciated being rejected, but he did eventually nod in acceptance. She shook hands with Twin Soul, offered to help him with Moonlight anyway, then let herself out. Back into the city. Back to the people of Ellendale. And as she walked among them, hearing their concerns, their fears, their uncertainty, she remembered things she'd lost to the doldrums of daily work, plans for her life she'd followed for years but had eventually grown beyond. Had she grown back into them then? Wiser, more understanding, more nuanced? It was then, wrung out and exhausted, yet victorious, that she realized what she wanted. All she needed was a plan. Prasanva, Twin Soul, watched her go, then shook his head. Unfortunate, and also remarkable. He liked seeing people uphold their personal codes. The Aethers, after all, had created all people to think differently from one another. As the main hallway door shut outside and Marisie Colmes left, Glavel eased from the shadows behind Kelsier's seat. The short man bore an intricate and fearsome mask, wooden and painted, but when he spoke, his accent was not that of the southern Skadrians. It was of silver light. We will need to deal with her, Glavel said softly.
She is a woman of integrity, Twin Soul said. I will not permit harm to come to her.
She knows our secrets, Glavel said. She knows this base. She saw what you and Moonlight can do. She glimpsed the maps, the powers, the knowledge. She is dangerous to us now.
We offered these things freely, Twin Soul said, and although she rejected us, she did not take from us. Master Kelsier, rein him in.
Enough, Glavel, Kelsier said, flicking on the light and leaning back in his seat. Twin Soul is right. She knows nothing that couldn't be learned from a cursory exploration of the Cosmere. We might have to move bases, but that's our own fault. Moonlight was so certain she'd join.
Glavel held his tongue, his eyes inscrutable behind that cursed mask. Twin Soul hated being unable to get a full read on the man's expressions, but Glavel, like his sister who ran amok on Roshar, wore a mask that he never removed. It was grown in to the point that it was practically part of his skin.
I mean it, Glavel, Kelsier said. You will not move against her, or anyone in this city, without my permission. You understand?
Yes, Lord Kelsier, Glavel said, and withdrew through the back door.
Kelsier sighed audibly, rising from his seat. He joined Twin Soul beside the window where they looked out at the city.
Good work yesterday, Kelsier told him. Very good work, old friend. We almost lost everything.
Twin Soul bowed his head in acceptance of the praise. It felt good.
You are blessed, Silajana said in his mind, and worthy of commendation.
That felt even better. It should never have gotten this far, Kelsier said. Something is wrong with Sazed. It's getting worse.
What do we do, my lord?
Twinsoul asked. Kelsier narrowed his eye. He whispered softly, am going to have a difficult conversation with God.